Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids, some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I just, for me, I always, on television, watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah. On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
So the Rockets, up by 18 in the second quarter, lose the lead and the game as the Hornets spoil the Rockets' festivities here on opening night. The final 110-105. Man was with 24 points for them off their bench. LaMelo Ball nearly triple-doubled. He was awesome with 34, 8, and 11. And the Rockets managed to score just 45 points in the second half and shot only 37% from the floor.
Well, there were some fun moments for the Houston Rockets in their opener last night. They did have an 18-point lead in the second quarter. 50 Cent was there. The guy who plays Pope from Outer Banks was there. Joe Mixon hit a free throw. Everything was peachy keen until, Joe, the very end of a 110-105 Rockets loss. The Hornets were without one of their best players, Brandon Miller, much of this game. This was an ugly one, and there was a lot of hype about the Rockets going into this season. Definitely not as much as there's been with the Houston Texans, but I definitely got a same old Rockets feeling last night.
Yeah, that was not a fun watch for most of the game. Even when they were up, it was kind of ugly basketball. Like, the whole first quarter was not really crisp or clean throughout this one. This feels so weird in these headphones. I had to bring special headphones today because I left mine at home. But it's such an ugly game. I didn't like a lot of what the offense was doing, a.k.a. just running down the court and jacking up threes and missing them.
Oh.
They just kept doing it, Paul. Like, they just kept running down the court, not setting the offense, jacking up a three, and it wouldn't go in. And they're like, hey, these will start going in eventually.
This is my big issue with basketball in a post-Daryl Morey world. And on top of that, in a world where the Warriors were so good from outside, and the Celtics currently are so good from outside, everyone believes that if you have an open three-point shot, you should take it. And on a night where the Rockets shot 42 three-point attempts, only making, what, 31% of them? This is, I think, where you got to ask yourself if the philosophy of just putting up as many shots is a smart one to have when you don't have the same shooters as the teams that I mentioned before.
Yeah, because even in the first half, you know, and when Alpi was going early, they weren't really doing that as much. They get this big lead because the offense was really like feeding through Şengün pretty consistently. And he, you know, had some like Angel Reese style moments where he was just throwing up bad shots and getting his own rebounds and putting up more shots.
The numbers, if you look after the game, the numbers for both Alperen Şengün and Jalen Green are such that you could say, you know what? These guys figured out how to play together.
Well, I think they scored the first 16 points for the Rockets.
Yeah.
I thought someone tweeted it out. Like Tillman Fertitta's getting, oh, Sean. Sean said Tillman Fertitta's getting his money's worth because they had all of the points and everyone else was just bricking shots constantly. It's the first game of the season, but I think we all were just kind of hoping the offense would look a little bit more crisp in this first game.
Yeah, a little bit of it was like just first game-iness from especially the first quarter where both teams were just like terrible. And then the
Şengün did have a double double.
What?
Şengün did have a double double in the first quarter.
Again, because everyone was missing shots and he was the only one scoring. But I thought the second quarter was really like, oh, this is the stuff that when we talk about the Rockets before the season, we're like, this is the team. If they could be this team all the time, they can actually win like 50 games. But of course, they're not going to be that team all the time because their two of the three best players are 22 years old. So you're going to have some uneven performances. And that's really what you got.
I liked a lot of what I saw. I'm not even kidding.
I thought even like Jalen Green was, what, 5 for 15 from three? You look at all the
Adam Spillane put out.
Yeah, Adam Spillane. I wasn't sure who it was.
Of all his 3-point attempts.
Yeah, and you look at him and you're like, I mean, you just got to make them, dude. You just got to make them.
But that's the problem. And that's where, for me, someone who hates it when a guy who's not a great 3-point shooter is chucking 15 up over the course of a game. Even if there's a stretch where he's making a lot, that stretch where in a minute and 30 seconds he missed 4 straight threes, that to me is a guy who's getting high off his own supply. And I said it going into this year. He is going to feel like he can shoot a bunch. We actually have some highlights of some of Jalen Green's shots. And you know what? You're probably going to think, this doesn't sound like a basketball game. Nope, this was Jalen Green from outside.
Let it rain! Rain dance! Let it rain! Let it rain! Iceman!
What is that from?
That is Philip Seymour Hoffman's greatest role in Along Came Polly.
Okay.
He should have won an Oscar for that, for Best Supporting Actor.
It's been so long since I've seen that, I couldn't remember it.
He's so funny in that movie, it is ridiculous. And that scene in particular, Ben Stiller and Philip Seymour Hoffman playing basketball, an all-timer, look it up on YouTube if you've never seen it before. Look, he's 5 of 15. He is taking shots that were good shots, I guess, if you're a great 3-point shooter. But he's not a great 3-point shooter, and this is where the problem lies. I want his 3-point percentage to go up. I do not want a guy shooting it 15 times and making only 5. To me, okay, let's do some sort of conversion here. How many missed 3-point shots are a turnover? What's the equation here? How many missed 3-point shots to a turnover? Three missed shots is one turnover or something like that? To me, a missed 3-point shot is like a turnover.
Well, especially the way they were playing, because the fact that they're just running down, they're taking the first three while their teammates are still trailing them. So there's no one to rebound the basketball.
Yeah.
So within 3 seconds of getting the basketball across half court, you're giving the team the other ball right away. I mean, giving the ball right away. What do we say? We want them to shoot 37% this year?
That's what I'm hoping for.
Well, they shot 30.2 from the 3-point line. So not a strong start.
No.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that as Jalen Green goes 5 for 15, the entire team shot 30%. Like, this team, a lot of times, is going to go where he takes you.
He did shoot better than the team.
I was going to say, Fred VanVleet is weighing him down with a 2 for 11. You got a 1 for 6 from the field from Dylan Brooks. Oof. So, Dylan Brooks and Joe Mixon made the same amount of shots last night.
To be fair, Dylan Brooks had... he had 4 points. Oh, no, he had 2 points. I was looking at personal fouls.
I mean,
a low number, it threw me off.
Yeah, I mean, what, they made 13 threes, and Jalen had 5 of them. Had 5 of the 13 threes. So a little bit of it is, again, he was open.
There were
open shots. And at a certain point, it's like, do you want Jalen Green shooting an open three, or do you want Jabari Smith or Dylan Brooks also shooting an open
Van
three.
Vliet. Right. And the other tricky thing is here, some of the young players. Amen Thompson had a couple of whoa, holy crap moments in this game. I like that Cam Whitmore put some dude on the court. Like he had him flat on his back and it looked like it was painful. I can't believe that guy took free throws afterwards. But it does feel like it's going to be a long time this year before those guys start getting more minutes than a Brooks or a Van Vliet, especially when Reed Shepard's debut in 16 minutes, he's got as many turnovers as assists.
But the fact that he played 16 minutes to Cam Whitmore's 8, and he played more...
Cam's going to be so mad.
I was surprised by that. I just didn't know what to expect from like how much Reed would be out there. And to be out there in large chunks like that was a big surprise for me in this game. I thought we'd see a lot more Cam Whitmore. To your point about Amen Thompson, he was really fun last night.
Yeah, I'm excited about him. That's really the one thing I come away from this game being, yeah, is this guy's coming off the bench. He's very young, and he's got a lot to work with.
Yeah, the two missed free throws were tough. Like, that's kind of when, like, the game was like, oh.
The fourth quarter was hard.
This is going
to
be one of those games. Where
and you knew it was coming. I mean, it really did feel same old Rockets. You're thinking to yourself, oh, they're going to blow this. Well, and with the way Craig Ackerman's talking about it and Ryan Hollins on the call, there's this nervous energy to them, and I'm just thinking, damn.
Well, I didn't watch it live last night. I watched it this morning. Uh-huh. So I knew the final score. So when they were up 14 with 6.5 minutes left in the third quarter, I was so confused.
Yeah.
I was like, what is about to happen in front of me, knowing the end result and having such a massive lead halfway into the third quarter?
Yeah, and some of this is just like modern basketball. With the three-pointers and stuff, where it's just a 15-point lead in the fourth quarter. It's just like, that's not that big of a lead, guys. Like you can't get too comfortable with that kind of lead. And I think the Rockets were just sloppy, and none of their players could make shots.
Ryan Lost in Texas suggests on our Twitch, every missed three-pointer is 0.75 turnovers. That's probably a little bit too much.
Yeah, because there is, I mean, even if you do shoot it and there's a 30% chance it's 3 points, if you turn the ball over, there's 0% chance it's points. So there is like some level of, you know, you can probably put up like 10 of them or 5 maybe.
I feel...
I mean, it depends on the person. Like, Amen Thompson was 1 for 2 from threes, but he also had one where he was wide open and he just passed it back to Reed Shepard. He's like, He, like, looked at it and was like, And which is like, when you're not a good shooter, like, that's what happens. And Amen Thompson is right now not a good shooter.
I think 3 missed three-point shots is 1 turnover.
I will accept that. So a 3-to-1 ratio here.
So I'm going to start adding this in.
So if you go 7 for 10, that's the same as having a turnover?
Yep.
Being 7 for 7 with a turnover?
That's 1 turnover. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not subtracting the missed shots. This is an additional statistic.
Okay.
Because there's too many threes being shot. Look, you're not good enough to shoot it 42 times from outside. You're just not. Fred Van Vliet in particular. Whoa. I get it. Oh, I'm a veteran. You know, whatever, dude. Stop.
I mean, watching the game last night, I'm like, how long did Fred and Dylan have to be here?
Everyone was mad at Van Vliet. I still like Dylan Brooks being out there. There was a moment where he was in the corner. I thought he was going to sack a guy while he was going out of bounds. He probably thought about it. He didn't. I like Dylan the villain.
I would not. I'll just say I agree with you. I think Dylan Brooks still has a place. I mean, we're really breaking down one game.
Yeah, we are.
Like, it's a team's entire season. Like, this. Again,
it's our first game back.
Yeah, it's first game back. This is probably the most we're ever going to break down
a Hornets game. For sure.
A game against the Hornets.
For sure.
But I would not be upset if by the end of the season, instead of Dylan Brooks, 31 minutes, Amen Thompson, 22 minutes. Those are flipped. Those two numbers are flipped. They can start. I don't really care where the minutes happen. Just if Amen Thompson is the one playing 30 minutes and Dylan Brooks is the one playing 20, I feel like that's a good measure of success is – when Fred VanVleet is playing like Fred VanVleet was last night, and this is a team where Ime Udoka is not afraid to bench Jalen Green last year, not afraid to sit Alperen Şengün late in this fourth quarter, does he feel comfortable enough with one of the young guys to put him in instead of a struggling Fred VanVleet or Dylan Brooks, or even last night Jabari Smith wasn't awesome. So it's a situation where can that be Reed Shepard is in for Fred VanVleet? Do you have that level of trust in him, you know, come February, March, April?
Hopefully we get that sooner rather than later. That's the voice of Sean Mapes behind the glass. Joe George is to my right. I am Paul Gallant. It is Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. If you were hoping for changes from the Houston Texans from this game against the Packers to the game against the Colts, you are going to be disappointed. But don't worry, everything's fine. At least that's what they're telling us. Stay put.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
So it's Texans and Colts on Sunday. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. That's where you got to go to bet on this game. What are you doing if you go to another site? I'll find you. I'll find you if you go to it. I will. And I'll do absolutely nothing.
I was going to say, like, are we about to go like Liam Neeson here right now? I'll find you and kill you? Or like,
No. Happen? I would never kill anybody.
Okay. I was like, what's about to happen?
No. Just leave a bag of cat litter outside your door. Used cat litter?
Perhaps. Tough. Didn't think about that when I got the cat. Whew. Stinks.
Yeah, you gotta scoop the poop out every day.
Yep, every day.
And you gotta change it at least like every 10 to 14 days.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a pain in the butt, but at least you don't have to walk the dog outside multiple times a day.
That's true.
The one trade-off. But anyway, Texans-Colts. Texans are, per mybookie.ag, 5-point home favorites at NRG Stadium. The line has decreased a little bit the last couple of days because I think it was 6.5 a couple of days ago. I still think that's too high. I say that because, one, we've seen the Texans play this year. This is not a team that blows teams out, unless they're the Patriots, who might be the worst team in the league. And last year, plus this year, the Colts have been tough. They beat them the first game last year. They almost beat them in the Week 18 game with Gardner effing Minshew playing horribly. They still almost pulled that off. And they did come very close in the home opener for Indy, the season debut for both the Texans and Colts. It was still a 2-point game despite Anthony Richardson missing a ton of passes. By the way, the Colts were without Jonathan Taylor in that game. And on top of that, I think with this game, DeForest Buckner looks like he's trending to return back from injury. Mm-hmm. They should have Michael Pittman. They should have Josh Downs. This is going to be a tough out. No matter how much we want to overlook this team, season ends today. They're the sixth seed in the AFC. Shane Steichen continues to do a very good job out there.
Yeah, I do struggle with not overlooking this team because of how poor Anthony Richardson can be at quarterback and really how he hasn't taken like any monumental steps this season. He often is completing, you know, 50% of his passes. He's got he's thrown on average 156 yards per game. He's completing 48.5% of his passes right now.
Well, in 1960, that would be good.
Like, I mean, it is. And he's not because of the injuries as part of it, but they also have made a wise but concerted effort not to run him as much. He's only got 197 rushing yards this year. So they're not even using him in the way that he can be the most dangerous because they don't want him to get hurt.
He's still not sliding.
He doesn't slide. He
runs straight into people. Yeah. I actually like it.
I do too. I just wish he could, like, he'd be fun if he could stay healthy.
He's not a wuss like Mahomes is with this faking out of bounds stuff. All these quarterbacks who give themselves up. I've said this a million times and I'll keep on saying that. Quarterbacks should not be allowed to slide. They should be treated just like every other player on the field. I thought this was America. Oh, we got an oligarchy on the football field making all the money? Huh. Interesting.
I'd be fine with that. Just no more slides allowed.
Quarterbacks should have to pay more taxes. How about that?
Ooh.
How about that? Quarterbacks, you know what? We talk about billionaires paying more taxes. No, quarterbacks should have to pay more taxes.
The sophomore tax.
For all this crap that they get away with on the field. They're overprotected. It's ridiculous. You shouldn't be allowed to slide. And you shouldn't be allowed to run out of bounds. And honestly, if you're on the sideline, someone should be able to clobber you. I feel that way. But whatever. That's just me.
So let's do arena football, though. Let's put some walls up here.
Don't
run out of bounds.
It is crazy that that was just fine, but as long as it was.
Oh, the best was that when you would see a guy get hit into the into his own teammates,
going
over the wall. That was the best.
Now, as far as the Colts go, the vibes are not great in Indianapolis either because of what you were saying there, Joe. Shane Steichen's going full Bill O'Brien after the Colts win over the Dolphins on Sunday.
I didn't do a good enough job for these guys today. It was all me. I didn't do a good enough job offensively. I got to do better for these guys going forward.
How do you assess the way Anthony's performed, and why do you think it's so stagnant, especially in the first half?
Oh, like I said, I got to do better. I got to put him in better positions. I mean, you go back and watch the tape, but there wasn't a lot of stuff open, to be honest, when I was out there watching it. So that's on me. I got to be better.
Joe and Sean, I want you guys to guess how many times Shane Steichen said, I've got to be better after the Colts beat the Dolphins on Sunday.
So it's more than just that clip?
Yeah, I was going to say, that clip or in total? Because I lost count even in that clip.
In total.
I think it was at least four in that clip. So I'm going to say 14.
Okay.
I'm going to say 15.
Wasn't quite that much, but it was eight. Okay. Eight is still a lot.
Eight's a lot.
There was so many in that clip, I felt like we had to go high.
You could have told me there was eight in that clip.
Also, during Sunday's win, a 10 for 24 Anthony Richardson day led to Richardson getting booed. They're booing Richardson. They all want Flacco.
I would want Flacco, too.
Here is Anthony Richardson after the game talking about the boos.
You know, when the crowd is booing and they're kind of upset with how the offense is going, how do you drown that out and obviously try to get a win?
I don't really try to pay attention to it, honestly. I heard them booing, but I didn't know who they were booing. It's just football, you know, the supporters in it. We know we got to execute. But you got to give them credit too. They dialed up and did a great job.
He has the deepest voice ever. I want that voice so bad.
It's so deep.
But I don't know who they were booing. Come on, dude. Come on.
He's fine. You know, he thinks he's playing good football, I'm sure.
Do you feel like he's in a bad spot with Flacco as the backup, given how good Flacco was last year? Would you want Flacco as your backup?
And that's why he's not in Cleveland, is because Flacco was too good, so they had to get rid of him. Yeah. I mean, Gardner Minshew, the offense was better with Gardner last year. So as soon as Richardson gets hurt, a backup quarterback's going to come in, be a better thrower of the football, and then when Richardson comes back, he's going to be worse, and the fans are going to get upset. But they're 4-3. Like, I give Shane Steichen a lot of credit again for finding a way with Anthony Richardson and Joe Flacco to keep this team above 500, to be primed to make the playoffs. If they can win, you know, this is a brutal schedule for them coming up. They've got Houston, Minnesota, Buffalo, the Jets, and the Lions. And then they play about five of the worst teams in the NFL the rest of the season. It's so, like, they're going to be a playoff team.
You think so?
I think they are. I mean, listen, Paul, they play New England, Denver, Tennessee, the Giants, and the Jags are their final five games.
Okay.
So if they can win.
But what if they stink over this upcoming stretch?
I think 9-7 is going to get you in. Is that 9-8? Stupid extra game.
Impromptu. This is ripping off a radio show that I don't even like, and Mike the Mad Talk. But just yes or no, are the Colts better than, we know they're better than the Patriots, we know they're better than the Browns, we know they're better than the Titans. Are they better than the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Yes.
Are they better than the New York Jets?
Yes.
Are they better than the Miami Dolphins with Tua Tagovailoa back in the building?
No.
Are they better than the Cincinnati Bengals?
No.
Are they better than the Los Angeles Chargers?
Yes.
Are they better than the Denver Broncos?
Yes.
I'm intrigued by that one, but maybe we'll come back to it. Are they better than the Russell Wilson-led Pittsburgh Steelers?
No.
Okay. Well, based off of that, they would at least be the 7th seed.
All right. Broncos is a toss-up.
I think the Broncos defense sets them apart here, but I do think that Bo Nix is a bit of a problem for them.
But by the end of the season, Bo Nix, I would be more confident that by the end of the season, Bo Nix is a better quarterback than Anthony Richardson.
Interesting. I don't know about that. I think with Richardson, I mean, we're talking about just a little bit more experience than Bo Nix. What, like 8-9 games more experience than Nix to this point in his career?
In the NFL.
Right, in the NFL level.
In college, Bo Nix has like 50 more games.
Yeah.
He's got a lot more games than Richardson, actually, under college and the NFL combined. So, they're a well-coached football team. There's a ton of talent. They've also dealt with a lot of injuries so far this year. But getting Taylor and Buckner back, the Michael Pittman thing's bizarre. Like, they were like, he's got a back injury that's going to keep him out for the season, then he played the next week. That was strange. But if Richardson can just play competent football, they're definitely a playoff team. So that's why you're right. We probably shouldn't overlook them this weekend.
I look at Jonathan Taylor, who you didn't have to go up against in week one. Essentially, like, this just that guy right there. Hang on, what am I talking about? Yes, he played in that game. They actually held him in check. Are you going to be able to hold him in check twice in a year?
That's what's funny. He was so bad in that game. I kind of look at him and I'm like, did he play in that game? He did. He had 16 carries for 48 yards, 3.0 yards of carry average. He scored a touchdown. Are you going to hold him in check twice? He's been out for the last couple of weeks with an injury. He's been out, I think, the last two, three games. So he's back.
I don't know. Henry Toutou, apparently, who returned to practice yesterday, didn't practice today.
Uh-oh. Okay. Well, he's dealing with the concussion. Azeez Al-Shaair does not look like he's going to be back, right? He was not at practice either.
He was not at practice.
They signed Devin White. They're expecting Devin White, I think, to play in this game on Sunday. We'll see how that goes. Devin White was a healthy scratch all season long for the Eagles.
So that's why I kind of lean no to stopping Jonathan Taylor again. I mean, no offense.
No Mario Edwards either.
Yeah, no Mario Edwards. And then Neville Hewitt and Jake Hansen and Devin White are your linebackers. And they were fine last week. But Josh Jacobs had some success.
12 carries for 70-something yards. Yeah. He was averaging a good amount of yards per carry. The Packers just threw the football a lot in that game. For what it's worth on the injury front, Kamari Lassiter looks like he'll be back. They're Texans second corner, so that's a relief. And Nico Collins, it seems to be on the right track, but he's going to still miss the next couple of games. Galan and George, he's Joe. I am Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in, to text in. You want to jump in on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Want to take a further look around the AFC South? Mm. Give me a little Southside music. Hell yeah, dog. What? Repping the H. For real.
Time to take a ride around the south side of the AFC with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Hell yeah. Well, to start off our south side segment, this is a big day for the king of the south side. On Sunday, a man who is a Titans legend, a man who is a Colts legend, and a man who is the best player in Texans franchise history other than J.J. Watt, Andre Johnson is going to get his Hall of Fame ring presented by Kay's Jewelers at halftime.
Mm.
The king of the AFC South, Andre Johnson.
Got to do it, you know, in front of his former fans. Of the Indianapolis Colts.
That's true.
Yeah.
Although it's at NRG Stadium. So I don't know how many Colts fans are going to travel. I really don't know if the Colts fans travel well.
I don't think they do. I don't feel like NRG is ever like overly Colts fansy.
The AFC South just does not have the biggest fan bases.
No.
And especially with the Colts no longer having Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck, even though they're still competent, it's just not a diehard fan base.
No.
City does not deserve a team.
Did you say it's presented by Kay Jewelers?
Mm-hmm.
Did every kiss begins with K?
Every kiss begins with K.
Do you think he's going to get maybe just a smooch when he gets presented the ring?
Cal McNair?
Just a happy birthday, Cal McNair.
Yeah, a little smooch from Cal on the cheek.
Like the Godfather?
Like he's Italian or something like that? That would be funny.
Yeah, the double kiss from Cal McNair. He gives him, love it.
I knew it was you, Andre Johnson.
It is cool for him.
It is.
That he is getting another warm welcome in NRG Stadium after getting inducted into the Texans Ring of Honor all those years ago, getting his red jacket. I honestly thought when I saw this at first, for a second, that they were going to give him a ring as part of being in the Texans Ring of Honor. But no, I guess they're giving him a Hall of Fame ring for being in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So he's got a ring and a red jacket, courtesy of the Houston Texans.
All right. And a gold jacket.
Yeah, that's true. A red and gold jacket. So does he wear the gold jacket or the red jacket on Sunday?
Gold.
I'm wearing the red.
I
the red jacket's so much sharper.
I think so the ring is for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
The ring is for the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I think you have to wear the Pro Football Hall of Fame jacket.
Gotcha, okay.
To complete the set.
Can you do a wardrobe change?
Yeah, I think that's what you should do.
Does he wear a jacket underneath a jacket?
That might be tough.
It's probably going to be hot.
A little warm in there. Yeah. The roof should be officially sealed by now. I don't know. I haven't heard anything about that. But
no, it was done by the second home game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah.
I do, though, Paul, kind of agree with you that you should get a ring of honor when you're in the Ring of Honor.
Mm.
makes more sense.
It does,
than
right?
The Pro Football Hall of Fame. Like, why? You already gave him the jacket and a bust. Why do you need also a ring? Like, I get it. It's the most prestigious thing you can bestow
on
a football player.
One of the most prestigious
things.
I mean, I did get a championship ring for the game-winning touchdown in the media flag football game last year.
You did?
Media and celebrity. Yeah, I got a ring.
Nice.
We all got rings, though. They gave rings to the entire winning team.
Oh,
I like
the winning
that.
Team. Okay.
I was a little nervous there.
I thought participation trophy.
Whoa.
I would have been out on the Texans.
The Texans, listen, the Texans, they give you awards. I have two trophies from my flag football dominance against local media and celebrities.
Okay.
I do. The trophy I have for MVP is ridiculous. It is massive. It's like this big.
What?
If you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, it is about a foot tall.
Yeah, a foot. Yeah.
What are, like, local celebrities?
I was going to say, who's the most famous person there that's not in the media?
Like, I'm assuming, like, you're going to get your wish this year. Paul Gallant.
There was a female Olympian. There was... Oh, if Sketch is out there, I'm running his ass over. I will truck stick him.
I'm sure he loves that.
Well, hey. Not like that. Jesus. Oh. I don't know how to get back on track after that.
Poor choice of words, Paul. Come on. Not come on. No.
Stop. But there were, I mean, there's a couple of radio people. There's this one guy who thought he was hot bleep, and he sucked so bad. He looked like he would be good, too. He was one of the worst players I've ever seen in my life. Just a waste of God-given athleticism. Absolute waste. The guy who does the Rockets PA was out there, too. And he seems like a nice guy. We've had nice interactions in the past, but I was pissed off that he was lining up on the outside at receiver because I'm taller than him. I didn't like that, and I think he thought he was way better than he was. I'm the best player out there.
Does he have the PA voice all the time?
No, I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
With that stupid echo they do?
Would have thought it would be funny. Hello, Paul.
Anyway, Southside, sorry. I made this too much about myself, and then it turned into a little bit nasty. The Southside, we talked about the Colts. The Jaguars are hanging on by a thread. Trevor Lawrence said, we don't have any more time to waste. And much like the Colts have a tough schedule coming up, which Joe laid out for you, the upcoming schedule for the Jaguars, Packers, at Eagles, Vikings, at Lions, Texans.
Ew, that sucks for them.
They are 2-5. Their season is over.
Yeah, they're cooked. I guess the win versus New England helped, you know, save Doug Peterson's job, but I wasn't sure he was gonna be the coach going to this Packers game, coming back from London. I thought they were gonna fire him after the Texans game.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe they won't fire Doug Peterson. But their season's over.
Also, the Titans, dumpster fire. Holy crap. So this was a couple of weeks ago. Calvin Ridley, Titans wide receiver, not feeling so good about the Titans situation with Will Levis under center. Now it's Mason Rudolph. We didn't play this rant by Calvin Ridley. Here is Calvin Ridley just talking about how frustrated he is about 10 days ago.
I need some in the beginning of the game, too, then. Like, getting crazy for me. So, I'm just, you know, it is what it is. I suck today. I got to be better. But I got to get the ball a little early in the game so I can be in the game and here with the team so I can play well also.
They just traded DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. And it looks like Mason Rudolph is going to start on Sunday. Calvin Ridley, by the way, not practicing. And I wonder if it's just injury related at this point in time. I wonder if he is hoping to get traded himself.
Yeah, I would be hoping to get traded if Will Levis and Mason Rudolph were my quarterback. But also, like, do some research before you sign a contract, buddy. Like, I don't feel bad for this guy. Like, you chose to go there. You knew how bad it was. I mean, his two options were Tennessee and New England. Like, that's what his market was, I guess. But I don't feel bad for him. I also would be wanting out of there as fast as possible. I enjoy how much of a dumpster fire they are.
I'd want to be in Nashville. Honestly, being on a terrible team in Nashville would probably be fun. There's no expectations anymore. The quarterback situation is so bad. I'm getting paid millions of dollars to play football, and I'm in bachelorette party heaven.
Yeah, if you're single, I could see why.
I would love to be in Nashville
playing
for this organization right now. There are no expectations. There's no pressure. If you're competent, you're fine.
And Tennessee's good, so no one cares about that. Vanderbilt's good, so no one cares about the Titans.
That's right. God, you're an afterthought to Vanderbilt.
The third most important team to state.
Vanderbilt is ranked before they play Texas on Saturday.
What do you think the they talk about in sports radio in Tennessee?
The Vols?
Definitely all Vols.
The Predators?
Vols, SEC. Vols, no, they don't Preds. Talk hockey there. They talk, it's 100% Vols, SEC.
Yeah, okay. Call in with your SEC.
And then maybe they get to the Titans occasionally.
Okay. Well, they at least there's one station that talks about the Titans and apparently enough to where Jeffrey Simmons wants to yell at one of the radio hosts.
That's Forgot fair. About that.
We got to get to Roger McCreary, all right?
I wonder if he still feels that Titans Radio should be complimenting them and more positive about them in the same way that C.J. Stroud was sort of suggesting, hey,
be positive.
When the offensive line's good, you better be complimentary. Mm-hmm. You better be positive.
I will, C.J.
If they're good.
That's my pledge to you, CJ. If they're good, I'll be nice to them. If they're bad, well, not so nice.
We'll be nice for 5 days. I guess they play on Thursday, so at least 3 days.
Yeah, hey, success isn't owned. It's rented. Rent's due every day, CJ Stroud. That's what the greatest Texan of all time once said.
Hmm. A couple of texts about those comments from the Texans that we played earlier in the hour. Check out the Gallon and George podcast on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify if you missed it. Texans are swarming all over our face and saying it's rain.
Hey, this is a filthy segment.
Another texter. I am a Stroud boy, but he's definitely missing some reads.
Yeah, I mean, he is, but he's also under fire constantly. So
yeah, and honestly, the Packers game is the only game this season where you were, like, disappointed in Stroud, because, and some of that was because that's the game where he was under the most pressure.
Right.
But against the Bills, he was fine. Against, obviously, the Patriots, he was awesome. But, yeah, that I need to see him struggle one more time before I'm super concerned about Stroud specifically. Offensive line, different story. But I'll be positive.
And I think I would need a couple of games. I mean, that was the second worst game of his career this last weekend. So if he follows that performance up with another one of those, I'll be concerned. But CJ's earned a lot of the benefit of the doubt that the offensive line cannot earn at this point. Even if they're good, like it's still like, we'll be positive, CJ, we promise. But
Stroud has the benefit of the doubt for now. In a moment, we'll play some audio of people that do not believe in CJ Stroud or are starting to be worried about CJ Stroud. One last tidbit for Southside. Guess who wants to trade for Cooper Kupp?
In the South Side?
Yeah. In the AFC South. Guess what team?
The Texans?
Colts?
Nope. Nope.
Jags?
Nope.
Titans. The
Titans want to trade per Diana Russini for Cooper Kupp. They're the only team that has called.
Why?
That has inquired about Kupp's services. I guess the Rams are asking for a lot and aren't going to pay much of his salary.
What are the Titans doing? Like, what do they think that...
Just making moves. Making moves.
You don't trust Amy Adams Strunk, the spawn of Bud Adams? You don't think that she got the good side of the family genes? You don't think that she's going to be able to figure it out? That's sexist, Joe.
It's just strange. Ignoring that.
Unbelievable.
They're just trying to make sure...
Joe doesn't think women can run football teams.
Clearly.
She's just trying... No, that's not true.
We both heard it.
That's not true.
You think Hannah McNair can run a football
team? I think Hannah McNair can run a football team, okay? Virginia McCaskey? Not so much.
I saw Hannah McNair playing flag football this week, by the way.
Really?
I think she could play flag football. You know who can't? Amy Adams Strunk.
It's true.
Am I body shaming? No, I would never.
What would you do if you were playing in the flag football game and you got one-on-one versus Mrs. McNair?
I don't care who it is.
Jump ball. You're pointing
I'm holding my hand up.
Really?
I'm holding my hand up before the play to show disrespect. And I'm sorry. I don't care if you're a billionaire or what. If you try to jam me, I will throw you outside of the sidelines. Do not mess with me out there.
Local radio host arrested for throwing billionaire to the turf.
Well, I think it would be
I play flag to win football, the game.
Texans celebrity and media flag football game had to be postponed.
Dude, I truck-sticked a girl playing flag football. I felt very bad about it, and her teammates were trying to get me the rest of the game. Guess what? They couldn't get me. Built different.
Truck-stick them, too?
No,
they're all much bigger than
only
that
Only 5'0", 100-pound women. That's all I can do.
And sketch.
Hey, listen.
You said you're coming for that.
I don't care what he does on video. If he's lined up across from me, I will wreck him. Okay? Anyone out there, when that game happens, once my cleats get delivered in the mail,
Watch out.
Asterix wants my cleats. Where are you ordering these cleats from?
You have procrastinated.
They've been in the mail for a month and a half.
Right. I haven't ordered them. Tab is open on my computer. I just haven't ordered them yet. Been waiting for the price to go down.
Black Friday sale?
Yes. Galanta George. Up next, we got some CJ Stroud criticism. Do you buy it? We've also got some CJ Stroud concerns. You're going to get battle red pilled in a moment. Will you take this battle red pill? Stay put.
This morning, I was over there at O Athletic, 767 North Shepherd in the Heights, oathletic.com. O Athletic on Instagram is where you can see what's going on there. You can see their list of 100 classes throughout the week, from the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and boxing classes to weightlifting, agility training. All of that is available if you're on their website, oathletic.com. I love going there early in the morning before I get here to work. Just starts off my day the right way. Don't wait till 2025 to start working on your goals. Work on them now, and they'll help you figure out what your goals should be and how you should achieve them. O Athletic is the gym for me. It should be the gym for you. Check them out, oathletic.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Stop the podcast.
Stop the podcast.
Hi, everybody. Just to let you know, this episode of Fish is sponsored by TV licensing.
Yes, TV licensing. What are you watching on TV, Andy?
I have been watching a show that's called 2 Weeks in August.
Okay.
Despite it being July at the time of recording.
Oh, you don't have to watch TV shows in the time that their name references.
No, absolutely. I watched The Darling Buds of May in winter. Anyway, 2 Weeks in August. It's a really good series. It's set on a lovely Mediterranean holiday.
Ooh.
And it's a group of old mates from uni who've gathered together. Some of them have got kids. Some of them haven't. Some of them have been going through big life events. And it's one of those amazing pressure cooker series where things just get more and more and more tense.
Oh, those stressful ones.
I love it. I love it.
I love my comedy, I gotta say. So I've been watching Android, which is Diane Morgan's new thing, and I absolutely love it. But I always on television watch everything with someone from Bolton in it. That's basically all I watch.
And she's from Bolton.
She's from Bolton.
But in this show, I believe she's a robot.
She's a robot, and it is not certain where in the country she's from.
It depends where the facility is that makes her, I suppose.
I guess so. But what are we actually here to say?
Oh, we're here to say that if you want to watch any of these shows, your TV license covers you to watch over 400 TV channels and everything on BBC iPlayer.
That is incredible.
So 2 Weeks in August has finished going out now, but you can get hold of it on the iPlayer.
If you want to find out more about this, then go to tvl.co.uk/pod.
Now back to the tension and the stress and the misery of this episode of Fish.
Oh, I thought you were referencing Bolton. On with the podcast.